Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour on this Thursday, March 12, 2020. This is Peyman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly Freedom Hour program. Every Thursday night, folks, I'm here to answer your freedom questions and expose the income tax, IRS, fraud and deception and slavery on you, the unsuspecting American people who are being deceived into slavery without even knowing it, and assisting you also to be free. Seek the truth, and the truth shall make you free, my friend. It is absolutely true, and I'll show it to you tonight. Tonight, I'll cover the topic of, are you, as an American, you're an American, most people listening to this program are Americans. This program is made for Americans. Are you as an American citizen, a United States citizen? And if so, are you subject to having to file a 1040 income tax confession form every April 15th of every year, and all you're required to have to pay income tax? Does income tax apply to you? Are you a United States citizen? Well, we're going to answer that question tonight definitively for you. Hang in there. I'm going to put the pieces of the puzzle together for you very clearly, my friends. But remember this, folks. What you want to do, folks, is to check out Freedom Law School's website first, because there you're going to find a lot of good free information. And any day, folks, this broadcast may be cut off by YouTube. We're going on brightyard.com and bitchute.com, and YouTube might cut us off for being politically incorrect, even though I just teach people law. Right, that's what Freedom Law School has been doing since 1996. Nonetheless, that being the case, you want to get on our email list, so we will be in touch with you. So let me show you my screen, folks. If you go to my screen, okay, you see at livefreenow.org. Freedom Law School's website is livefreenow.org. When you go there, you see on the front page, the message is discover the truth about IRS lies, fraud, and beat the IRS deep state thieves. And if you go here below, sign up for your free freedom education package on the right-hand side. Here's how you get started. You fill out the information right below here and click on the button that says, yes, I want free freedom education. The package will be mailed to you by mail free of charge. It costs Freedom Law School $5 to create and mail one. It's yours for free. And all these lessons and more will be sent to you, folks, okay, every week. Educate you about things that you want and need to know that you were not told, folks. Okay? So do yourself a favor and get your education to freedom started now. So with that, folks, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to explain this issue. Then I'll be answering your questions at the end of the presentation about this issue or any other related issue that you may have about freedom. Any of your freedoms, government oppression, Freedom Law School since 1996. Being here to educate you and help you live free now. So let's go back to my screen. We're going to do a little search. We're going to start with the U.S. Constitution, folks. I like DuckDuckGo.com. Google spies on you. It's a good search engine, DuckDuckGo.com. And here we're going to type in the U.S. Constitution text. Let's do that. I did that, and the answer came up and at archives.gov. Here it is, the U.S. National Archives. And here it is, folks. The Constitution of the United States, a transcription, okay? So, folks, now we're going to go down here, okay, and go to the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. This all becomes relevant, folks. This issue. Article 1, Section 8. Okay, here it is. I've already had it highlighted for you, okay? I'm going to zoom this on for you a little bit more, make it a little bit easier for you to read, my friends, okay? Let's do a little bit more zooming in for you. Okay. Okay. That's good. So what this does, folks, is Section 8, it says, Section 8, Congress shall have the power to what? Congress shall have the power to things like, for example, lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises, right? Has the power to borrow money, regulate commerce, right? Establish uniform rule of nationalization, right? Coin money, regulate value thereof, you know, a bunch of stuff. Very specific powers were given to the federal government, like to declare war, right? However, one of the things that was given is here, to exercise legislative, exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over said district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may by secession of the particular states and acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States. And, okay, that's key right there. Let's stop right there. So what does that mean? I'll tell you what that means, folks. Back at the time the U.S. Constitution was written in 1987, the proposal of the states was to create a U.S. government. There was no such thing. The states were 13 states come together on the Articles of Confederation to work and cooperate together. They could ignore what the Confederacy says or work together. It was a completely voluntary association. Completely. The states were absolutely sovereign, and the United States government had no power to do anything without the absolute consent of all the states. So they wanted to create a new federal government and give it certain specific powers, like you read, declare war, coin money, to have same units of money in all the whole states of the union. It was going to be a union created of the states. And uniform rules of naturalization to become immigrants, things like that. It's all this section I just read you, Article 1, Section 8, has all these things listed in there. But in order for the federal government not to be under the power of any particular state, they wanted the federal government to have its own land mass, that it had complete power and jurisdiction. That way it could not be pushed on by a state. If it was in New York, New York could have pushed on the federal government. If it was in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania could have pushed on the federal government. So by putting the federal government in its own land mass of no more than 10 miles, they planned this, as you read, they planned to give the federal government no more than 10 square miles. And that was given by Maryland and Virginia and another third state there. They get that swamp land. It was really a bunch of swamp land. They give it to the federal government, and in that land, the federal government can have absolute exclusive jurisdiction to do whatever they want to do. So if you go back to my screen, that's why it says that. To exercise exclusive legislation, lawmaking, in all cases whatsoever over such district, which became District of Columbia, okay, as may be, as it was planned, by secession of the particular states, but the states given up seceding those parts of themselves, and the Congress accepting that acceptance, become the seat of the government. Become. Again, there was no seat or place or land mass of the United States government at the time at all, period. That was to be. Now, Let's go, we're going to look up another part of the Constitution now, and that is Article 4, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2. Okay? Now, in this thing, again, let me show what is it that we put right here. Let's go do it together. Here it is. Here's, again, the Constitution of the United States. On the right-hand side, we can click on Article 4. Here it is on the right-hand side, all these articles. Article 4, Section 3. Let's click on Section 3. It goes down to Section 3 right here. We go to Clause 2. Okay. Here we go, Section 3, Clause 2. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, here it is right here. Maybe Article 4, Section 3. Here we go, Clause 2. There it is. So it says, the Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations, any kind of rules or regulation, respecting the territory. The territory is the territory was going to be given to the federal government, which became D.C., or other property belonging to the United States, or any other property that the United States may later on come to own. This is very important, folks. Okay? So the land that federal government was going to acquire, you would have complete jurisdiction over it. Okay? Now hang in there. I don't know, you might think this is not interesting. Believe me, it'll get very interesting. Wait. Okay? Let's go back to screen. We're going to look at Internal Revenue Code. We're going to put on search engine 26USC.house.gov. Remember, there are 50 categories of federal law called United States Code, USC for short. Category 54 is on internal revenue laws, the tax laws of the federal government. So if you type on your search internal search browser, 26 space USC. And then after that, out house.gov, you get the official version of the internal revenue code, the federal tax laws, your federal government on the internet. And I'm going to show you in my possession. You see right here. Look at that. This is my 1999 copy of the Internal Revenue Code. See how thick it is? All these toilet paper thin papers, tiny font, details. Yes, that's the whole entire Internal Revenue Code. We're going to look it up now on the internet, specific code sections or part of that. Okay, here it is. So when you search on that, that comes up. Second one comes up, OLRC, Office of Law Review Council Home, US code.house.gov. Open that link in a new tab. Okay, and here it is. Internal Revenue Code is right here, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. All right, and where does that come from? As you see again, this comes from the, on the top left, look at this seal, US House of Representatives website, Office of the Law Revision Council on the top. Center, United States Code. And it says United States Code is the consolidation and codification, which means categorization, by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States. Okay? So you see Title 26, Category 26 is on Internal Revenue Code. Yeah, Title 20 on education, you know, Title 13, Census, 12, banks and banking, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to go now search within Title 26, some definitions, 26 space USC, okay, 7701, all right, and put house.gov at the end. That we get the official version that comes up from the U.S. House of Representatives Lawyers website. And here it is, section 7701. Right-click on that, open that link in a new tab, and here it is, definitions, right? So what does it say? When used in this title, what title? Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code. So this entire title, right? They define things like the term person. Yes, they have to define the word person. They want to, okay? You want the term domestic, right? Okay? Okay, foreign. All this stuff is defined. Oh, look at that. Number 9, A9, and A10 are United States and states. What does that mean? What does it say? Let's check it out. Okay? Now, folks, you're going to be surprised. But hang in there. You'll see it. It's going to blow you away. Here it is. The term United States when used in a geographical sense, the only sense that matters to be cared about, right? It includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Wow, look at that. They mentioned the 10-mile square District of Columbia. How big is the District of Columbia, folks? Let's look at the United States, okay? Here we go. Microscope map of the United States, right? Let's like a, you know, map. Look at the map of the United States on the maps. Let me show how tiny the United States is. Here's the United States map, folks, okay? Okay, here we go. On the internet. Let me make it. Okay. Yep. Folks, Washington, D.C. is right here. Let me show the whole United States first to you. This is the United States, right? Let's zoom in now. On most United States, you see, zoom in. It's tiny little 10-mile square right here, right? Between Maryland and Virginia. Let's zoom on that a little bit more. Oh, look at that. Yes, those pink lines. That is the District of Columbia, right? These three pink lines. And then this river, Potomac River. That's what the United States is. So, and the law, Title 26, however, let's pick it up. It mentions D.C. Why mention D.C. such a tiny little place? They mention states, though. What does states mean? Well, here it is. The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. Wow, look at that. The term state is also in Washington, D.C. So United States and state in the Title 26 and tax laws of the federal government mean only Washington, D.C. In the federal tax laws, United States and state, by default, they mean Washington, D.C., not the 50 states. Pretty amazing, huh? Not California, not New York, not Texas, just Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, you think that's not important? That is very important, okay? Because we'll look up these definitions now on the internet. Let's look up case of Meese versus Keene, M-E-E-S-E, space, V, period, space, K-E-E-N-E. Look it up. We just did. Open that link in the new tab. And it comes up. Here's a U.S. Supreme Court case of Meese versus Keene. Okay, here it is, folks. U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, Meese versus Keene, 1987 U.S. Supreme Court case. What does it say? Because I looked it up, folks, already for you. Here's the relevant language, which is pretty interesting. These definitions matter. Okay. What the court says is, it is axiomatic. What is axiomatic? Look up the definition. Self-evident. Obvious. Right? It's a very basic principle. Obvious. Right? Let's go back. It is obvious that the statutory definition of a term. Statutory means law. The statutory definition means as something is defined in law. So if a law defines the term, excludes unstated meanings of that term. Something is not there. It's not there. It's that simple. So, just because we're used to refer to the United States, you and I, every day, that United States, we mean the 50 states, it doesn't mean that. In law, but they can, by in law, they can make specific definition. In the law, they can say a dog in this law means cats. So from now on, in the law, you read dog, you should think cats. That's how it is. In the law, if they say from non-elephant means mouse. Guess what? Elephant means mouse. It doesn't matter you and I think elephant in ordinary everyday language means elephant. No, no, no. In the law, it's defined as mouse. So it's mouse. That's what the Supreme Court is saying here. Let's go back and continue now. Now here's the court further continues in this case. What does it say? As judges and as American citizens, everybody, it is our duty, all of us, to construe legislation, which means understand legislation and laws. Laws, okay? As it is written. The exact precise words as written. Not as it might be read by a layman. Layman like you and me, average guy. Now, as you and I would think what it means. Or as it might be understood by someone who has not even read it. Yes, and guess what? You never read these sections until I showed it to you. So that's not about you. It doesn't matter what you and I think, what these terms mean. It's defined in the law specifically. So the United States is Washington, D.C. Right? With that, let's go on now. We're going to do a little bit more search on the internet, folks. We're going to look up section 26 U.S.C. 4612. Why? I'm going to look up this section because this is one of those sections where I'll show you the term 50 states is used in the law, tax laws. Here it is. Let's open that link in a new tab. Section 4612. Okay? Here it is, folks. 26 U.S.C. 4612. Definition of special rules. From Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Subtitle D, Miscellaneous Excise Taxes, Chapter 38, Environmental Taxes, Subchapter A, Tax on Petroleum, on Oil. So for this chapter, right, this subchapter, Subchapter D, there's special definition rules, right? For the purposes of this subchapter, what subchapter? Here it is first, okay, subchapter 38, environmental taxes, which includes tax on petroleum, on oil, right? For example, define petroleum product as the term petroleum product includes crude oil. Okay, sounds good. But look at the term United States. In general, the term United States means the, wow, look at that. 50 states. Wow. Congress didn't forget about 50 states. When you have the power, the authority to make laws for 50 states, they put it in there and include it. Right? Let's go on. And the District of Columbia. And more. They're going to add more territories because they chose to. More territories in the United States. They specifically take the time to list territories that you did not know they even existed or were part of the United States. Watch. The Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Any possession of the United States, right, of D.C. government. The Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands. I bet you most of you never heard of that. And I bet you almost none of you heard about the trust territory of the Pacific Islands. Yep, for this part of the Internal Revenue Code, it's the 50 states. So, folks, it is not like Congress was stupid and forgot to mention United States means the 50 states, California, Florida, New York. No, they knew about it. They couldn't make laws for the 50 states, those income taxing powers, so they didn't put it in there. On oil, they could do tax. Everywhere, the 50 states and any and all possession of the United States, and they put them all in there. Okay? Now, let's go back to my screen. And we're going to look at the case of Gould versus Gould. G-O-U-L-D space V period space G-O-U-L-D. You look it up on internet. Here it comes up. Okay? And I open that link in that new tab. Okay? Here it is. And I got the court case of Gould versus Gould. He opened for you already. Ready to go, right? Gould versus Gould, 1917 U.S. Supreme Court case. We go down and read, look at this wonderful part of this unanimous U.S. Supreme Court case. What does it say? In the interpretation, understanding of taxing statutes, taxing laws, it is established rule not to extend the provisions by implication. There's no taxing by implying. Beyond the clear import of the language used, beyond what the language of the law clearly shows and says, or to enlarge their operation of the tax laws, as to embrace, which means include, to include matters or things not specifically pointed out. Any doubts are resolved against the government. That the summary of the court case, right at the beginning, and you see Mr. Justice Reynolds delivered the opinion of the court, the unanimous decision of the court, and here it is, folks, you go down further, you see this same thing in more detail listed right here in this paragraph. So when it comes to taxing laws, there is no taxing by implication. None. It's got to be clearly shown in the law. And if it's not there, it's not there. And if you have any doubt, it goes against the government having the power to tax. Got that? So I'm showing you, folks, we just clearly show that the government has limited taxing powers. If you have any doubts in your mind, get out. It goes against the government having taxing powers. Because power to tax is the power to destroy. They take everything from you and destroy you. That's why it's such a very specific, limited thing. Okay? So we're going to go on back to my screen, folks. We're going to look up. We're going to look up another IRS code section, folks, that you're going to like. Under definitions, folks. Okay? We'll go back to the screen. Under 7701 definitions, 26 U.S.C. 7701 definitions, right? We're going to go and look up A30. I'm going to scroll down. 7701A down to A30. Let's keep going, going, going. Look, they define husband and wife. Wow. Look at that. Specific definition of that. Look, domestic building and loan association has a very specific detailed definition, right? Look at that long definition, right? Let's go down to 30. Oh, look at that. United States person. That's interesting. Now we're getting close to the topic of this Freedom Hour. Are you a United States person? Right? I mean, you're American. When you go to France or Germany, where are you from? I'm from the United States. So that means you're a citizen of the United States? Yes, I am. Well, yeah, maybe. But how about for the tax laws? Let's check it out together. Okay, see what you are. Okay, here we go, folks. The term United States person means, wow, look at that. A citizen or resident of the United States. But we know the term United States means Washington, D.C. So the term United States person means someone who is a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C. That's what this United States means. Huh. And how about look at BNC, domestic partnership, domestic corporation? Well, let's go back up. Is domestic defined in the code? Let's go back up, look it up. Oh, yes, it is. Here it is. Domestic. The term domestic would apply to a corporation or partnership. Oh, yeah, like we're talking about, means created or organized in the United States. Oh, created in Washington, D.C. Or under the laws of the United States. Under the laws of Washington, D.C. Or of any state. Oh, or of D.C. Right? Unless in case of a partnership, secretary provides otherwise in regulations. Anyhow, domestic means Washington, D.C. Right? As foreign means, when applied to a corporation or partnership, means a corporation or partnership which is not domestic, which is not from Washington, D.C. Yes. So check, guess what? That means than the average corporation in America, incorporated in Texas, California, New York, is foreign with respect to Washington, D.C., according to the law as written by Congress. Wow. So, right? So even regular corporations are foreign to U.S. government, right? So here we are, back to United States person. It means a citizen resident of Washington, D.C., a domestic partnership or corporation, which is D.C., D.C. domestic partnership or corporation, right? Okay. Okay, and a state, okay, again, and, right? And any trust, you know, wait, where is the average American in here? The average American is, here it is, citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., otherwise called the United States. Wow. So, that means that you are not a United States person. Under the tax law, as defined by Congress, remember the rule in Meese versus Keene, right? It is our duty to construe legislation, interpret laws, understand laws as it is written, right? Not as it might be understood, read by a layman, or as it might be understood by someone like you or me who had not read it before, right? It is as it is written. And what does the law say as it is written? Now, this person is someone who's from Washington, D.C. Well, let's go look a little bit further into Internal Revenue Code. Have a little fun. How about we go look up Section 1, right? I remember at Sherrod Jackson trial back in 2007. The government prosecutor in Atlanta had a copy of Internal Revenue Code in his hand. Put it right in front of Sherrod Jackson on the table. Open it up to Section 1. It says, here it is. Tax imposed, right? On the income of the average American. Show me where it's wrong. She wasn't prepared to answer that. But you will be. I'll have it for you, my friends, okay? Because thanks to availability of internet, the laws are published on the internet. Back then, it wasn't for free, available easily on the internet. For Sherrod Jackson and others to look it up. You had to pay for the legal service companies to provide that laws to you at that time. Now it's available for free, all that stuff, easily. Let's go to my screen. So we're going to go, let's see, where was I? Here we go. Look up 26 USC Section 1, okay? 26 space USC space Section 1. Type it in, and then house.gov. Here, and the answer comes up. Open that link in a new tab, and here it is. Section 1, 26 U.S.C., Section 1, tax imposed, right? Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. This is what the government relies upon. Here it is, folks. They claim there it is, tax imposed, okay? There is hereby imposed on the taxable income of every married individual, right? Now, here it is, the tax tables here below, right? Here it is. 50% of taxable income, right? If you make over this much money, over $250,000 is this much plus 39.6% of excess over $250,000, right? Okay, a tax determined in accordance with the following table, right? That's what it says. Now, here's for, you know, married, you know, individuals, head of households, as his right, you know, head of household, right? All this stuff. Okay, here's unmarried individuals. Tax rate, different tax rate. Married individual file separate return. Estate and trusts, right? So you're thinking, there is the law that imposes a tax on the average American. But wait a minute. Wait just a dadgum minute. Where does all this apply? Where does Section 1 of the tax code apply? In the United States, right? Not Germany, not Russia, not Japan or Egypt. It applies to the United States. The United States means Washington, D.C. And it does not say the 50 states like Texas, New York, Florida. You're not covered by this tax law. This whole thing doesn't apply to you at all. What happened, folks, they pulled the wire. They said, deceived us with all this. Now, I'm going to show the regulations for this code section. That's going to make it even more clear. What's the regulation? Back in the late 1800s to regulate railroads, you know, they're ripping off people with high rates. They passed laws and gave the federal government and the employees some little power to make the rates for how much the railroads can charge people. Because railroads had a monopoly on east-west travel in the United States back in the late 1800s. And the Supreme Court allowed that. Over the decades, they started making regulations for everything. Congress writes a law, like Internal Revenue Code, this thick. The regulations, the IRS, the Treasury Department writes, is three times as long as this. The regulations to interpret and impose this. To give more detail, it's like a skeleton. The regulation is the meat and veins and nerves. It is the basic skeleton. That's what regulations are. So to look at the regulation of, you have to look at what's called the Code of Federal Regulations, CFR. Not Council of Foreign Relations. Y'all know about that. CFR means Code of Federal Regulations. The regulation of the federal government. On top 26 would be 26 CFR. And then what you're looking for. So let's go back to my screen. We're going to look up together 26 CFR. Okay. 1.1 is the one you got to look up. The regulation number is a little bit funny. I don't have time to get into that. But if you look up CFR, 26 CFR 1.1, the regulation will come up. Income tax on individuals. See, that comes up right there. The official source from the federal government is hard to look up. It takes too long. I'm going to go with the one that usually comes up from Cornell Law School, and that's fine. I'm going to open that link in a new tab. Okay? So here it is, folks. 26 CFR 1.1-1, income tax on individuals. The Section 1, right? What does it say? Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax on income of every individual, right? That's what we're just talking about, right? Well, what individual? Every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. There it is, folks. The United States Treasury, in interpreting a law written by Congress, agrees with everything I just said. That the taxes imposed on an income of, right, every individual who is a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C. Anybody who is a citizen of D.C. or resides, lives in D.C. That's how the law is written. Amazing, huh? Now, you might be asking yourself, why? How did they do this to us? How they ripped us off? How they got to do this? And why did they do it this way? Well, as I mentioned to you, America is 50 countries, states in the union. There's a reason why the president gives every year to a Congress address of the union address. Not address of a country, because America is not one country. It's 50 countries in a union. Every country in the union, California, Texas, Florida, New York, have their own legislatures that make laws, have their own governor. They have their own executive branch governor, right? They have their own judiciary, including their own highest court, usually called the Supreme Court of California, for example, Florida Supreme Court, right? So, because of the restrictions in the federal government had in the Constitution with taxing powers, they took advantage of a loophole which was created in 1901 by the U.S. Supreme Court. What happened is that in 1895, the internationalists in America, the international banksters and others, their friends, they want America to become an empire. So they deliberately set up American ship to be sabotaged in the Cuban harbor and blamed it on the Spanish empire. And U.S. went to war with Spain and took Puerto Rico from them and Philippines and some other, foreign lands that belonged to the Spanish government. Well, here's the United States government now taking over a bunch of lands that people did not speak English. They were not English-speaking European Americans. They were completely foreign language, foreign culture. Our people did not speak Spanish. We could not take over their system smoothly. Like when Texas and California came to America, the European Americans that were there, they already had settled there. They could set up a government of English-speaking people. That could not be done in Philippines or Puerto Rico. In fact, in Puerto Rico, still to this day, the official language in Puerto Rico in the schools is Spanish. Yes, that's the number one language in Puerto Rico to this day still. So there was a tax imposed from Puerto Rico, which I'm not going to get into very detail about it, but bottom line was that the question was challenged. A case called Downs versus Bidwell, whether that tax was constitutional or not. Well, the majority of the Supreme Court in 5-4 decision, majority, said that because Puerto Rico is not part of the Union states, at the time there was not 50 states, at the time there was about, I think, 46 states in the Union. So the Constitution in general did not apply. In fact, the court ruled that the federal government made those laws of taxing Puerto Rico in its municipal powers to tax Puerto Rico. Because Puerto Rico is technically a part of Washington, D.C. So was Philippines. There were territories belonging to the United States. They were basically United D.C. Remember I read that earlier to you at the beginning? That's why this all mattered. So when it did that, Supreme Court by majority basically said this. The island of Puerto Rico is not a part of the United States. Whoa! Within that provision of the Constitution, which declares that all duties imposed and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Throughout the United States, this United States meant the Union states. That's the Union states, right? New York, Florida, Texas, right? So, but Puerto Rico is not part of the 50 the states of the Union. That's what it says. Okay. So we're going to go look up this thing. You know, it's a very interesting case. I can read it next time to you in more detail. We're going to look up the case of Downs versus Bidwell. Usually I don't go look up stuff on Wikipedia, but in this case I did a good job with the Wikipedia. It comes up and gives you a nice explanation of what this court case is. Okay, Downs versus Bidwell. What does it say? It was a case in which the U.S. Supreme Court decided that where the U.S. territories were subject to the provisions and protections of the U.S. Constitution. Okay, so what does it say? The decision resulted in decision on narrowly held the Constitution did not necessarily apply to territories. Right? The U.S. Constitution does not apply to territories, right? In certain circumstances, particularly in those dealing with revenue, with taxes. Becomes a taxes, the Constitution does not limit the federal government's taxing power. Okay? That is the key. This was a nose under the camel's tent, which later on was used by that treasonous President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that socialist communist, who was aided the banksters, wanted to enslave the American people as tax slaves, to use this to tax the American people. The law is written for the United States, but the United States means D.C. Now, if this person is someone who is a citizen of D.C., right? So, now, in this case, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what this decision says, that you're like this, okay? Here, check this out. This is a good part. The dissent written by Justice Marshall Harlan, okay, held, okay? Here's what it says, okay? Now, he was a minority. He held that Congress had no existence and therefore had no authority outside of the U.S. Constitution. And he was right, in my opinion. Congress had no existence and therefore had no authority outside of the U.S. Constitution. However, what the majority did, he said, is going to do this. Okay? The idea prevails with some that indeed it has expression and arguments at the bar that we have in this country substantially, basically, in America, we have two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution, one the Constitution applies with all this restrictions. Other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument in Washington, D.C. territories, folks. That's what the majority said in D.C. territories. They said they can do whatever the federal government wants. They have absolute dictators, especially when it comes to taxes. By exercising such powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to, see, other countries, the governments can do whatever they want to, basically. By America, the government is restricted. I take leave to say that if the principles thus announced, if these principles right now that was this majority held, should ever receive the sanction of a majority of this court, which they did, the majority of this court approved of this. Look at that. The next part. A radical and mischievous change in our system will result. Wow. A radical and mischievous evil change in our system of government will result, and in fact, in it, it has. We will, in that event, pass from the area of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by written constitution into an era of legislative absolutism, which means the legislature can do whatever it wants in D.C. and territories, right? In D.C. and territories, the government can do whatever it wants now, the federal government. That's what the minority is warning us against. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, finds a lodgment, finds a place in our constitutional jurisprudence, in our, you know, interpretation of the Constitution. No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violation of the principles of the U.S. Constitution. But guess what? Majority went along with this sham. This happened in 1901. They call it insular cases, the territory of the United States. And now they wrote the laws written for D.C. and they call it the United States. But they never told you, because in 1930s, when Roosevelt did all this nonsense, he wrote the law correctly, but didn't tell you. In 1930s, very few federal law books were ever needed. Very few laws existed. Not very many lawyers did much federal law litigation, because there was very few federal law litigation suits, lawsuits happening in America. So when they wrote the law like this, nobody looked it up. Nobody could look it up except a few judges and a few big law firms that dealt with federal judges could look up and see these laws. They were devilishly hidden their definitions like this. That the law of income tax laws applied to Washington, D.C. We didn't know about this. This has been going on now for over 80 years, this scam. And now, thanks to the internet, we know the truth, and it's your job, my friends, to get this to other people. You need to put this presentation and other presentations of Freedom Law School on YouTube, on your Facebook page, email it to your friends, on our YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Anything you know, get it out to people. We got to have a peaceful restoration of the U.S. Constitution and our system of laws that the corrupt deep state is deliberately hiding from us, is bothering us. They like the money. It's about the money for them. Money, money, money. That's what they want. They don't care about the law and the Constitution. Where we want to uphold the Constitution. We want to uphold the laws as written by Congress. There is no law that requires you to file and pay federal income tax. And folks, you have no legal, constitutional, moral, ethical, or conscientious duty to pay the deep state criminals in Washington, D.C. to use that money to destroy you, to enslave you, to create a CIA, which is supposed to be outside the United States, to internally operate. CIA has assassinated American people. They tried to do a coup d'etat with the Ukraine nonsense by CIA whistleblower, where CIA has no jurisdiction at all by law in America. They're supposed to have nothing to do with America at all, outside, I guess, foreigners only. The NSA has all these databases that track all of our emails, phone calls, Facebook posts, everything, the smartphone, everything they to destroy us. The police state is there to control, put in jail. They put good people in jail. And the communists in government, Hillary Clinton, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, all these guys here that have FBI, CIA, Department of Injustice lawyers, they all go free. These are the crooks. Heads of the beast are Department of Injustice lawyers, CIA, NSA, FBI, IRS, and by many in the judiciary that go along with them. There's a minority of good people within all these branches. If you're someone within the government, you heard about us, come join hands with Freedom Law School. I extend you my hand of friendship and love to work with good people like former FBI director and Los Angeles office, Ted Gunderson, who's a friend of mine. Expose the criminality. Stand for the truth. Okay? If you take an oath to uphold the Constitution, small enemies, foreign and domestic, as immigrant, someone in the military, as government employee ever in any state or federal government or county, city, you have an extra duty like me to fight off these corrupt criminals within the deep state who are enemies, are domestic enemies of the U.S. Constitution. Don't pay your money to the thieves. Don't. You have no legal duty to destroy yourself. None. Doesn't matter what their crooked judges try to say. Hide my duty. Oh, you cannot object. They're a bunch of liars and thieves. Don't let them cow you in, intimidate you. You know the law better than these vampires. And they hate it. Don't bring it up like a garlic to a vampire. No, not the law. I'm supposed to follow the law as a judge, as a government lawyer, as an IRS manager, but I'm deliberately ignore it and call you frivolous. They call you frivolous for bringing up the laws written by Congress in their face. So let me show you folks what our website, that's Freedom Law School's website, folks. What you want, that's our Freedom Law School. One of the main things we do, folks, go to livefreenow.org and under, let's see, where education materials. You go to Educate Congress tab. Under Educate Congress tab, you click on that. And here we go. Educate Congress about income tax, fraud, and the importance of the oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. None of these guys have with any lawful power until they get an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, including President Trump. None of them. Here it is, Donald Trump. Until he took the oath, he was nobody. When he took the oath, he became officially the president. Same thing goes with all government workers in America, period. So that's why we want you to write to congressmen about the income tax deep state scam. Okay? Ideally, you do it before you stop filing and paying income tax. Okay? Do it, folks. Do it. Write to them. Don't believe me. Check everything out for yourself. Double check it. Watch this video 4 times if you have to. Check, make sure I'm not deceiving you. But write to congressmen to put pressure on these guys to follow the Constitution and the laws. The Congress is the only one that can rein in the crooked deep state and the executive branch and the judges. Yes, Congress can impeach all those crooks. The judges, the crooked judges, heads of FBI, FBI, CIA, IRS, impeach, fired. Okay? And lawyers, they could impeach them, throw them out. The head of the Department of Justice doesn't want to prosecute these criminals. They can impeach him. Get rid of him. Hey, President Trump, give us some another guy. This Barr is a deep state crook himself. He's not prosecuting Clinton, Comey, Clapp, all these guys. Get rid of him. Get another guy. Nixon doesn't do it. Same thing. Fire him. President Trump should be firing all the heads of all his agencies. Let a new head come up. They're crooks. Cut them all off. Get somebody come up from the bottom. Until somebody honest comes and says, President Trump, I believe the Constitution, American people's rights. I take my oath seriously, and I will prosecute all the crooks. I clean up the Washington, D.C. swamp and restore freedom, the Constitution, and rule of law in America. So do your part, folks, with Field Law School. Take action with all this. Stop filing and paying income tax by studying this material, upholding the law as I'm showing you, and share it with everybody else. They can't stop us. You see, I have not filed and paid income tax for over 30 years. 30 years. IRS well knows about it. Why did they come try to put me in jail for having stopped filing and paying income tax? I started Field Law School back in 1996, 24 years ago. In 1993, I was on the IRS criminal investigation. I got the files, the notes, for 22 months, almost 2 years. They closed that. They came after me for money. Then they opened up another criminal investigation. Then an abusive tax lawyer promoter. All this kind of stuff. They all, you know, they're not trying to put me in jail. This deception when I put on you, you're going to go to jail if you don't follow up income tax. It's just a deception. It's a fraud and a lie. I've covered it up before in my Freedom Hours, and I'll cover it up again. So don't worry about that, folks. What you want to do, folks, is stand for the truth. Okay? Stand for the truth. Have fun. Share this information with other people, folks. And you take action. You stop, you know, filing and paying income tax yourself by upholding a law that applies to Washington, D.C. only. Does it apply to you, the average person? Right? Because you're not in Washington, D.C., are you? So since you're not in Washington, D.C., does it apply to you? Why should you pay a tax to destroy yourself? All right. We're going to go to your questions now, okay? The call number to ask questions, area code 657-383-1755. We're going to put the number on the screen. The call number to ask questions on Blog Talk Radio is 657-383-1755. Then you press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. So we'll be notified that you have a question, and we'll take your question to answer it. Again, the number is 657-383-1755, and press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. Let's go to some of your questions that we have right now from callers. Then we're going to go to your comments on YouTube. The guys on YouTube, hang in there. I will get to all you guys. But let me take the guys with questions, live questions to ask, okay? So first number we have is someone from area code 423. Then we have a caller from area code 516. So a call from area code 423. You, my friend.
Hi, it's Josette.
Give me your first name. Okay.
Josette.
Tell me about Freedom Law School's free freedom education package.
Yes, I do.
And then ask your question. Go ahead, my friend.
I wanted to tell you that, one, my son got his passport without a social. He was never given a social. And he got his Tennessee license without the social. And now we went for a bank account, and they wouldn't give it to us, and they're shutting my account down.
Mm.
I sent you papers. Did you get them?
Yes. What was your first name again?
Josette.
Okay, Josette. Yes, we talked before, Josette. You've done a good job so far, Josette. I really appreciate what you've done and your son. The problem is, I covered this in the Freedom Hour edition before, and I'm going to bring it up for you, that I covered this issue. I'll give you a short answer to it, okay? But and I'll show you the Freedom Hour, which I discussed this issue in specific detail on this issue alone. I'll cover the fact that there is a federal law that says the banks might identify their customers, so you're not a criminal, terrorist, drug dealer. But the deep state in the regulations that the IRS wrote, one of the things that imposed on the banks is the bank must get your tax ID number. You must provide a tax ID number. So otherwise, if you don't have a tax ID number, no bank account for you. So here is, let me go. Here's the screen. You go to Freedom Law School's YouTube channel. You can YouTube, okay? Type in at YouTube, type in Freedom Law School, will come up. Then you go click on videos. You get the videos. Then on the top left center area. Then on the right side, sort it by date added newest.
There's audio on the computer. Check that.
Okay, all right. My audio on my computer is turned off. Okay. So let me fix that, folks. Sorry. Okay, so then when you do that, I'm sorry, about that. You go to, it says about 2 months ago. Okay, I did this Freedom Hour over 2 months ago it was. Okay, here it was on January 2nd, 2020. How you can open a bank account without an SS number, safety and surveillance number. Okay, so listen to that in detail, but the answer for what you're asking is we have to sue. We have to come together as patriots, as Americans, not be a lone wolf. We all need to pitch into a fund.
What about them closing my account for this? They're closing my
account
now.
Your account shouldn't be closed because, I don't know why they did that. I got to give, without more specific information, in a private one-on-one consultation, why that happened, specific to that, I'm going to give you a quick answer right now, Josette. Okay, get an answer from them. Why? Ask them why.
Okay. Oh, because of my stance on the tax code. He was pretty clear.
Okay, well, guess what? You have a lawsuit against the bank. You can sue the bank. You can sue U.S. Treasury Department. The problem is it costs thousands and thousands to this kind of lawsuit. I'll talk to Larry Beecraft, great constitutional freedom attorney. He's a good guy. But he's got to get paid for the work he's got to do, okay? I've done a lot of work on this issue, and I'm going to work on it, okay, at no charge. But somebody to fund that lawsuit. If you all pitch in, folks, you can all send out like $1,000. Believe me, if I get $10,000 raised, I promise you I'll be getting the lawsuit door. But I need to get the first $10,000 raised. That's it. Not $100,000, not a million, just $10,000. But we don't get money from government or big corporations and the banks. See, the one wonderful well-to-do patriot may do it. I don't know how much money you got. You probably don't have that much money, Josette. Or somebody can donate $1,000 or $500 per person. And I'll put the money to trust to do
how
this.
How about any alternative? Do you know of any alternatives for somebody that
there
doesn't
isn't.
Have a social?
Nope. If there was, I would have already shared it in that Freedom Hour, which I talked earlier. There is no other alternative. I wish there was, but there isn't. Okay? So,
okay.
Now I'll tell you something else I'll do. I'll make another deal for all of you. Okay, folks? This is where Freedom also comes in as a tool for you, for freedom. Folks, as Lone Wolf, Josette by herself over there, Charlie over there, David over there, Ralph over there, Suzanne over there, we're all lost on our own. But coming together, we have a lot more power than every single one of us alone. A lot more powerful. All these fingers coming together, right? So you could be a part of the solution in two ways. You can send a donation to Freedom Law School, okay? Or you can send money, you can send a Larry Beecraft in Huntsville, Alabama, okay? And you can send it in trust to him, okay? His number is 256-533-2535. Got it, number? You can call directly, 256-533-2535. Send it in trust to him if you want to, or Freedom Law School, okay?
Okay.
And then what was the and then we can raise $10,000. I think I can get started with that and raise more funds with someone like coming out $10,000. The other thing I'll offer you guys, folks, is this, okay? Freedom Law School, if you go to my website, I'll show you. One thing, folks, this is why I've done these programs that we have done. If you go to Freedom Law School course packages, I came up with these Freedom packages for not just to assist you, to back you up, like the Royal Freedom package. Okay, this is my favorite. This is your IRS Peace of Mind Insurance, the best, the top of the line, the Rolls Royce, Ferrari Land, Lamborghini of the Freedom Movement. This is it. There's nothing like this Royal Freedom Package, because everything will be done for you, protect you criminally, civilly, for money issues, consultation, everything unlimited done for you, basically, right? But one thing I do in this program, okay, is this, in addition to all this. What I'll do is that I'll take the initial membership fee is $8,000 to join right now. Second, each is after $4,000. I'll put $1,000 if you get the Royal Freedom Package aside. If you tell me that you want that $1,000 of your membership, or $2,000 if you want me to, $1,000 to $2,000 of it. So set that aside for the lawsuit, for the Social Security thing. I'll do it. But you got to ask for it. You got to join and ask for it. I'll do it. And I want more of you to do that. If more of you do that and say, look, some of my money I'm going to target toward this area, now I can do something with it. Because you're joining in part, Josette, to help your son's situation, and in part to help all of us and help your other children and your grandchildren's situation. Okay? So look at this as an option, folks. Yeah, the Royal Freedom Package does everything for you for $8,000 for the first year. Each of thereafter is only $4,000. Okay? $4,500 for Californians. Okay? And you can make payments on these programs, folks. If you don't, you can make half payment, make payment on the half down, make payment, or even up to $1,000 make payments. That is okay, okay? I'll let you put $1,000 down and make payments on that. Because I know y'all don't have that $8,000. Some of you do, no problem. I have people that make $300,000 to $500,000 a year more during the program, and some people that make under $40,000 a year during the program for the same price. So I'll work with all of you with payment plans if you need to, but I want to suggest you consider one way or another participate, Josette. Either by outright taking part, by donating, contributing to be part of it, or get the program, Freedom Law School, and our party money will go for this cause that's important to you and your son. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's go to another call from here. Go 516. What is your first name? And do you have a free Freedom Education package, my friend?
Hello, Payman. My name is Randy, and I do have a Freedom package. Thank you. Good work.
You're welcome, Randy. What's on your mind?
Well, my New York State driver's license got...
Hold on a second. I turn my mic on, please. I can barely hear them. Okay, continue, please.
Okay, my New York State driver's license got... restricted because of non-payment of my state taxes. How can I fight
mm-hmm.
that?
How much they claim you owe them?
Well, they didn't
About.
Say exactly how much. They just said you're restricted until payment, and I don't want to call them until I know what to say.
Randy? I don't have a silver bullet to give you. I wish I did. Here's my magic wand.
Okay.
No such thing exists. The first step is to find
nope.
how much they want from you. $1,000, $10,000, $1 million. Find out. Okay, call them, ask them what it is. Okay. Number two, they'll let you make payment plans and even small payment plans of $10 or $100 a month, you know, and they'll get your license back.
Okay.
So that's the easiest, quickest way, because you didn't do the right things earlier. Excuse me, you didn't challenge those taxes previously. Or maybe you filed California, New York tax forms and admitted you owed the money. I don't know. But problem is, you got to make a payment plan at this point, sounds like. And then I would consider leave New York. Yes, leave the Communist Republic of New York. Okay?
Very
good.
Have
to live in
New York.
You don't have to live in California. America's 50 states, my friends. You're not stuck. Why do you think Florida is the number one state from all over America that people come to America, to Florida? From all over America, people come to Florida number one and Texas number two. Because the freedom-oriented states. Florida has more than 8 states with no state income tax. 8 states in America have no state income tax. New York has high state income tax. New York City has a city income tax on top of that, too. Why do you have to live in Manhattan or Queens or Long Island? Okay? And have to be subject to all these nonsense regulations. You vote by your feet. Walk out of California. Walk out of New York. Okay? Come to Central Florida. The best place in America, in my opinion. Great weather. Lowest tax rate in the country. And overall, the freest state in America. Very low regulations. Yes. You don't believe me? Okay, I'll show you my screen, okay? Here it is. Look at this up. It's called, good look, Freedom Done in the 50states.org. Okay, 50 is 50. Freedom in the 50states.org. Oh, I didn't put the G in there. Okay, let's look it up. Okay, here we go, by Cato Institute. Here's rank of freedom in all 50 states in America, right? Which ones are more freedom-oriented? Okay, here it is. Well, look, the orange colors are top 5. Oh, like Florida, Nevada, Colorado, and Indiana. The worst ones, bottom 5, are the dark blue, like California. New York is that number worst. You know, New York, here it is, number 50, the worst state. Okay, New Jersey, number 47. Okay. So why have Hawaii is number 49. Sad. There is that. Florida is number 1 overall. Look at that. The ranking of Florida number 1 has been since year 2014. Number 1 was up there since 2000, but now it's become number 1 since 2014 overall. And look at this. For taxes, been number 1 since 2012. Okay? So the regulation and controls, you know, I think overall is still very good, because but taxes and overall is number 1. So why stay in New York? And so what you do is nothing that you do. Randy, you get your driver's license back, make a little payment plan to them, and get the heck out. Get the heck out.
Okay.
What are you for a living, Randy? How old are you?
55, and I deal in healthcare.
You do healthcare? Oh, man,
I'm in
healthcare. There's a shortage of healthcare workers in Florida, because in Tampa, Orlando, because the retirees come from Long Island, New York, with the Social Security money, home equity, retirement pension. They're all they want to be taken care of, but you are not safe and secure to come back with a guaranteed job. Like, they got a guaranteed situation. There's a shortage of nurses, people in healthcare like you. Come on down. Tampa area is the best, in my opinion, okay? No, between Tampa and Florida, that area is the best. Okay?
Thank you very much, Payman. Good job. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Matthew. My pleasure, my friend, to help you to be free, folks. You vote with your feet. Okay? You vote with your feet and forget about these communist states that are just gone. New York, California, Hawaii, New Jersey. There's nothing you can do. They just have delivered about all illegal aliens and give them free socialist money. So that they vote communist, vote socialist. They call them Democrat. They call them liberal, but they're not. I'm a liberal. okay? Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson was a Democrat, liberal, like me. They're not liberals, they're socialists. They hide behind a label of liberal, but they're not. The socialist commons. Get out of those places. Come to Florida, okay? All right, folks, we're going to go to a YouTube commentary to some of your questions you guys have. So Richard says, if I choose to not pay income tax and not to file a return, will that make it difficult to purchase a home next year? A little bit, yes. Yes. See what they do? They entice you with the benefits of the communist system. You know? Hey, yeah. You won't get this benefit if you don't pay taxes, income tax. Like buying a home, subsidized home. So instead of paying a private loan at 10% interest, 10, 11%, you're going to pay 5% government subsidized loan, 5, 6%. You want that, right? Yeah, we only 3% down FHA loan, right? Give us a good confession form. That's what I try to entice you. But if you don't pay income tax, how much are you saving, Richard? Add it up. How much you pay income tax every year? Social Security income tax, Medicare tax, you know, personal income tax, state income tax. If you don't pay all that, you can put the money down payment, get a private loan lender, private enterprise. Okay? That's what you, and the fact you can get loans without that tax returns also. It's a little bit more difficult, but you can do it. Okay? So it's up to you. Okay, freedom is not free. There's some challenges, but I show you how to do that. In fact, I got a course at Freedom Law School. Here it is. I'll show you on the exact issue. Okay? If you go to Freedom Law School's website, again, under course packages, okay, and you scroll down, the main courses, course packages available. There's one of my favorite courses on how to buy a home with no tax return, no Satan surveillance number, no credit, no bank loan. And here it is. And it's course $130. I show you how to do that, the basics of it, and it's a 3-hour course. $130 plus $20 shipping. It gets you started on understanding this process, how it works. It will not do it all for you, but I'll give you understand how you do it, basically, so you understand the game. But it can be done, my friends. Okay? All right. Now, let's go to the other questions. Matthew says, have you checked out work of Jeff Kadapuski? His new channel is called Obscurity Universe. Nope. Sorry. If I get a chance, I'll check him out. Why is he so important? He didn't say. I've never heard of him. Terrence Monroe says he understands that IRS is not a government agency. The reason I bring it is Proposition 2 of the $300,000 income tax reward of Freedom Law School concerns giving information to the government that may be used to incriminate them. Okay. Well, you're right, technically, IRS. In 1860 was created, was never officially made part of U.S. government. If you look at the U.S. on the United States Code, U.S. Treasury Department our structure, it's not there. But they all pretend like it is. So for all practical reasons, it is part of U.S. government, even though on a strictly legal basis, you are right. The IRS is not part of U.S. government. Okay, but that's another story. We can get to another time, perhaps. Okay? So let's go to your other questions, folks. Average guy says, let's see. He just mentioned he has nothing question. And Eric Wayne says, what do the 7701 definitions apply to? Subtitle A or Subtitle C? Okay, good question, Eric. The definition 7701, what do they say? Let me review it for you, read it together. If you read it, it understand, it make it clear. Let's go to my screen. What does it say? Here's 7701. When used in this title, okay, that's what it means. Let's zoom on a little bit more for you guys. Okay. When used in this title, the United States means these things. Now, in certain chapters or subchapters or parts, they may have a different definitions for that particular subchapter and part. And I have not taken the time to sit down and categorize in every chapter, subchapter, what it means. Okay, but if you want to do that, you can go look it up yourself. Okay, but bottom line is the burden of proof is on the IRS. Remember, to prove that we owe a tax, let the government prove that any subtitle it applies to the average American. I can tell you subtitle C, Social Security, is applies to DC, some other territories, which I explained that before in my Freedom Hours recently on Social Security. Go to YouTube channel, channel Freedom Law School. Okay, so. But bottom line, it's up to government to come and prove that you are anything. Not the okay. Subtitle A, with that definition, is right now the default. Okay? So we're going to go by the default. If the government can show what applies to you, then we can go from there. Okay? Mish says, if that other person who asked about New York had done the paperwork ahead of time, would he have been fine? What paperwork? I'm not sure you referred to. Okay. He may have been, may not. If he had beaten you at that state tax case, he owed him nothing. Yes, he had no problem. If you have left New York, it would have been no problem too. Bob, well, I would live in the North Tampa area. I'm not kidding you. When I came here about 6 years ago, every other person I asked, where do you come from? They told me Long Island, New York. Funny thing, every other person gave them Long Island, New York. You know, that was as much as people from Connecticut, Massachusetts, Michigan, all the other places were half, and the other half was Long Island, New York. So, but don't come and vote communist, okay? Be a freedom fighter when you come here. Now, Mish says the reason he asked is because the Constitution didn't originally limit the states. And you're right, it doesn't. The Constitution does not limit the states' taxing powers within their own states. Only the state constitutions can limit that. So you're right about that. Now, nihil in ultim remanua, let's see, remanebit. Says, do you have a process to remove tax liens? You see this? This is my magic wand. It removes all tax liens and levies. There it is. I remove all tax liens. No, folks, there is no such thing. I wish there was. There is no such thing. You got to look at every tax situation with a specific process. Did the IRS take the right steps? Did you take the right steps or not? That's critical. And that's something else, by the way, I don't talk about a lot necessarily, because Freedom Law School course level one goes into that in more detail. Okay? That's why the Freedom Law School course is so important, because I explain these procedures in a very much detail in there. And this is what you want to get. This, let me show you, okay? Here it is, folks. You go under Freedom Law School's course packages. This course called A Practical Road to Freedom Level 1, which I click on right now. This is the foundational course of all the courses of Freedom Law School and all the Freedom Packages. With a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's right, 90-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Okay? And this course is made up of 9 classes on law and procedures that will empower you to start living free today. Okay, look at the table of contents. Class 1, 2, okay, 3, 4, and look at the class 5, everybody's favorite class. Effective responses to harassing letters, government letters, especially by the IRS and state income tax agencies. That's almost 3 hours long, this class. So that's what all this. Your course available for $300, only $300 for 20 years. More than 20 years, but only $300. Plus $20 shipping with a money-back guarantee, 90 days. And, folks, you can get that course for $100 if you want to. $100. Make a payment on it. So I don't want to hear from none of you that you don't have any money. Okay? I don't want to hear from none of you don't trust Freedom Law School about for $100. I mean, get level one course. Let's do it in your car. By the way, put it on your smartphones now. You can listen on your car on your smartphone, in your car now. We just did it this week. Okay? You don't have to get on CDs anymore. You can listen to it on your phone. Okay, on your smartphone, your car. Or anywhere on your smartphone. So learn about this stuff. If you don't like it, send it back. Free rental. You only pay for shipping, of course. Okay? And if you get it online, you know, if you get only the $20 that's kept for the shipping, handling, processing, that, then you get the $300 back. You only risk $20 for the stuff that's been for 20 years solid and works. Okay? All right, folks. I believe we're done with the questions for tonight's Freedom Hour. We have no more live calls either. Then we give the number one more time. Anybody with live questions? Let's put the number on the screen. Live questions, the number to call is 656-383-1755. James, put the number on the screen, please. The call number is 657-383-1755. You put one, push one on your telephone keypad, and that will let me know that you have a question, and I'll answer your question live. Other than that, folks, I'll end the call. There's a lot of work I got to get done. To put more good free information on Freedom Law School's website. Folks, I really try to put as much free information on my website as Freedom Law School's website. It just takes time to do it right, research it, write it, edit it, proofread it. And all this, by the way, is supported by you, those of you get our Freedom courses, the Freedom packages, okay? You can send a contribution donation, but better than that, I'll just give you a course. I'll give you a Freedom Package. I want to give you something back for your contribution for support of Freedom Law School, all the stuff that I do, okay? And, folks, my plan is to make all this free stuff to all the poor people, all the low-income people. Make 10 to 15 bucks an hour or less, all the free stuff's for you, level one courses for you, okay? So are you Social Security or disabled? The free stuff, the other one, of course, is for you. But some of you who make $50,000 a year or more, you want to get a simple Freedom Package or a Royal Freedom Package or more. Those of you who make like $80,000 a year or more, getting the Royal Freedom Package is a no-brainer. Why aren't you there already? To protect yourself. Hooking up with the strongest, most successful tax honesty freedom group in history. Of the tax honesty movement since World War II. He started this movement in 1992, 28 years ago, living free, educating you and expanding. So join hands, my hands extended to you with freedom, brotherhood, and love. I hope you accept my hand and let's work together, okay? To have you be free, have your family be free. Your friends and neighbors, extend reach to them, help them be free. And together, we can also have America be a free country once again. Thank you for listening to me. I'll be back with you next Thursday night with another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. Good night. Okay. All right. Okay.
I like the cat being a bird in the law. It's technically a bird. Thanks, Ricky.
Being a dog being a cat, elephant is a mouse.
Because they're basically just trying to trick you with the whole state thing.
Deceive you. And now they're just committed to take the money from you.
Yep.
All right, guys. So how many calls do we have on the average?
We had four callers, two with questions, two just listening. We had an average of like 42 listeners. We had a high of 57. So compared to January, we're up.
Mm-hmm.
There was freakishly high, like 70 or 80 one week. I think maybe after Amercast.
Okay.
But that's 57 is good.
Our high was 57.
Yeah. Average about 42.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Good stuff.
All right. The topic I think was interesting to people. They'll like this topic of citizenship.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the record, the first, be nice, I do not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
For the record.
Gotcha.
He's more sensitive than me.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. We're all not the same at different levels of,
Yeah.
And it was like, I appreciate this thing of one. Sometimes I go a little bit rough and I soften it up on purpose.
Like the pen was fine. I actually didn't be nice to the pen, but like, don't be, like, scowl at the camera.
Right.
Be like, you know.
Yeah, he I did that, but see, don't have that. Sorry,
yeah.
it was a cover. You know, you get their attention. You know, That's what I did. Try to get their attention with something. Well, I'm glad April was here to help me. See all the stuff I have to open up beforehand.
Yeah.
Now, good thing I have this stuff in my head, and/or I have sources like Dave Champion's book. It's a good book for source. You know.
Yeah.
Look up these constitution provisions.
Yeah.
And so everything comes up so quickly on the internet. You know?
And I don't want you to feel rushed, like you have to throw everything together last minute. Maybe, like, if you start prep sooner, like, I felt very at ease doing this because I started soon. I started at 6:20.
Yep.
I was here and I did the easy stuff, got it out of the way.
Yep.
It's working. Okay. And then there was a blog talk thing that was not clear. It turns out I had to refresh it.
But you had time to do that.
Yeah.
You had time to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And today, that's why I told my wife when I left, I called, hey, dentist took longer than originally planned.
Yeah.
But hey, when you get there, let's eat dinner at 5. I told you we ate dinner. I'm by 6:30. You had enough time just to get it done. We just maybe just what, 1-2 minutes later, I think it was, right?
5 minutes,
yeah. It wasn't too terrible.
Yeah.
We're getting better. I got to get better at that, you know. But the thing is that when you have like 10 days out of your schedule shut down, going to at a